And we're back here on Unusual Sources 93.3 CFMU FM, bringing you the sources and the interviews that you don't get to hear in the corporate media. Today, we're going to be following up on the story of the War Resisters, and we're going to be speaking with Sarah Hipworth, who has been a member of the War Resisters support campaign since 2008, and she's here with us in the studio today. So Sarah, thanks very much for being on the program today.
You're welcome. Glad to be here.
Hamilton activists is what we want to see. What's happening in Hamilton, Burlington, the whole region area, what we're doing to support Ontario-wide and Canada-wide campaigns. And certainly the War Resisters has been a continuing saga with its ups and its downs. And there's been some difficulties now, but I understand they were foreseen. And there's some actions happening on that basis. Kim Rivera has been a focus of activism recently. There was the deportation of Kim, and we were just approaching that point around the time of our last interview on the subject. Now, I understand she had to be separated from her family, and she was crossing the border. Can you tell us what happened roughly at the crossing?
Sure. Kim voluntarily presented herself at the border on September 20th, the day she was told that she had to leave Canada by. She went across, well, she was driven there by a member of the War Resisters support campaign, and she was arrested when she crossed over. Her family went across at another border crossing. Kim and her husband decided that they didn't want her children to witness her being arrested.
I can certainly understand that. And I guess she was immediately arrested then upon entering the United States.
She was. She voluntarily presented herself at the border and was immediately arrested.
I understand the War Resisters were anticipating that action at this time because similar actions have taken place with regard to other War Resisters. There's already a campaign in place to help Kim and help her morale at this difficult time. One of the things that caught our attention was a letter-writing campaign, and I mean actual physical letters, not just emails and things like that, but handwritten or typed-out letters that can be addressed to Kim. And that's sort of a cross-border thing. It's coming from not just the United States, but Canada and other places. So the War Resisters are helping mediate in such a way that you could write or type a letter and get it to Kim Rivera.
That's correct. We're not sending them directly to Fort Carson, where she's awaiting court-martial right now, but there are a group of supporters in Fort Carson. So she's surrounded by a lot of people there who are supporting her, including Courage to Resist and some friends, some Quakers.
Yes, and there's been so many communities that have become involved in these actions since the time that the War Resisters became visible within the larger public activism. I think there's a growing understanding of the situation of War Resisters. It's not just a North American phenomenon. I think Kim's getting letters from like Germany now, is that right?
That's correct. She received quite a number of letters from Germany, and it was very nice for her. She certainly very morale boosting.
It's good to know that she's receiving the letters. You may not have time to really figure out how she thinks about all of these letters, but she is getting them. And I guess if you want to get involved in that process as a citizen, is this done through the War Resisters website? Is there a place they should go to?
Yeah, letters can be sent to the War Resisters support campaign, 427 Bloor Street West, Box 13. But you can also visit the resistors.ca website for information about how to contact Kim.
Exactly. And someone there, if you contact them, they can always help and get you the info you need. It's interesting, just as the Hamilton Coalition to Stop the War has conducted a number of events with regard to War Resisters, and there's always people in the community who come out, people you don't always hear from them, but when the topic of the War Resisters comes out, they're there to write letters and support the War Resisters. And, you know, Kim is what we're looking at right now, but there's the case of other resistors within Canada. And I know there was Ashley Brockaway, her husband Jeremy, suffering from post-traumatic stress disorder. Now, the War Resisters chipped in and helped purchase a dog, which I understand is part of the therapy for treating post-traumatic stress disorder.
That's correct. Jeremy was able to get a therapy dog whose name is Buddha, and he's been helping Jeremy recover immensely from his post-traumatic stress. And he's getting along very well with the family, the dog. So
that's good to hear. That's wonderful news. We don't always catch updates on exactly what's happening with regard to the War Resisters, but part of the purpose of this program is just to get that out there so people know what kind of activism is being done. Maybe give people ideas as what do they can do. So, you know, a dog, that can be helpful towards veterans and War Resisters. Letter-writing campaigns to Kim. So there's so much that can be done. I know there's fundraising efforts. We can get to that, but The issue of Kim is still nibbling at my mind. There was some email circulation about what happened with regard to crossing the border. Before that, the conservatives, the government was kind of unclear as to what would happen. They acted as if maybe they were unsure what would happen when Kim moved across the border. But once she moved across, as you said, almost immediately she was arrested. And that's when the conservatives, the MPs in Parliament, they were informed and they started thumping their desks or celebrating or something. What was this reaction?
Yeah, they started applauding when they received news that the family had been forced to leave the country. And I think that disgusted a lot of people when they witnessed that in Parliament. And prior to that, they had argued that the fact that Kim would be arrested and court-martialed was purely speculative, that we couldn't know for a fact that Kim would be arrested when she crossed the border. But evidence indicates from a few other war resistors who crossed over before, including Robin Long, who was court-martialed, arrested and court-martialed for 15 months, and Clifford Cornell, who was in jail for 12 months, that this is what happens when someone who resisted the Iraq War and who refused to fight in that war and then who spoke out against it when they came to Canada, this is what happens to them when they get sent across the border.
That's another issue, too, how the Canadian government feels about veterans, U.S. soldiers, people crossing the border. There's this legislation they implemented, I think, to track or monitor soldiers or U.S. citizens who are from the military coming into Canada. They think they might stay there. So I think that had been implemented before, and there's been a campaign to try to repeal that. Is that how it works?
That's right. It's called Operational Bulletin 202, and so Operational Bulletin 202 clearly targets the war resistors by actually requesting that immigration officials flag any American war resistors or any American soldier who comes across the border as a potential criminal and therefore unable to apply for Canadian citizenship. So it makes it extremely difficult for the war resistors to have their applications dealt with fairly in a non-biased fashion.
Yeah, it's just there's so many issues circulating around the war resistors. What drives you or what gives you hope on this issue? I mean, certainly the case of the various stories is very inspiring, and it can cause people to want to get involved and be participating in activism. You have different war resistors, different families. Some of the situations are the same, the deportations and what happens, our government's reaction. What keeps you interested and involved in this kind of activism?
I think because I believe in its importance, that's part of it. It was an illegal war. I never have understood why the Canadian government has differentiated between the Vietnam War and the Iraq War. Yes, some of the participants in the Vietnam War were drafted, but to me, volunteering for a war is one thing, and discovering that it's an illegal and immoral war when you get there is even more reason to refuse to fight in it.
From when I speak to citizens of the United States, it seems there's a great deal of fatigue of these conflicts. And not a fatigue in ability to do something, but people are tired of the wars because they thought they'd be over. And then they realized that the wars were about something different than what was sold. That changed people's opinions too. So it's good to see that American citizens are starting to question more seriously the decisions that are made by their governments and how they affect American families in a case-by-case basis. It's good to see that level of discussion, and we want to maybe see it as part of the broader anti-war movement in terms of the criticism of wars like Iraq, wars of choice, interventions.
Yes, it was a war of aggression. Saddam Hussein posed no direct threat to the United States of America, and that is not the information that the soldiers were given when they went over.
Exactly. And when you look at the comparisons to Vietnam, you have the war in Afghanistan. I think it's gone longer now than the war in Vietnam. So this war on terror is becoming the longest war ever fought in U.S. history. And it shows no sign of ending. I heard that the director of Alien, looking at filming a movie based on the book The Forever War. That's the kind of situation Americans are facing, unless communities mobilize, unless we do something. And again, we have the war resistors, which have been one of the earliest organizations to directly address some of the issues in this war on terror. So I'm very grateful for this kind of activism. I'm glad it's been part of a broader anti-war movement and something that's able to unite and unify people across borders. Canada, the United States, European countries are becoming involved in the campaign. They've been following it thanks to the websites and radio interviews and the releases that you've put out. the testimony from the war resistors, their YouTube videos. It's all been helpful in building a campaign and building a case for explaining and understanding what's going on. So I'm pleased that you've been able to be involved in that and that Hamilton has been a helpful actor and played a role in this Ontario and Canada-wide section of the movement. So Sarah, thanks very much for being able to give your time directly to us today.
Thank you. May I mention that we have a fundraiser this Friday featuring Noah Richler. He'll be reading from his book, What We Talk About When We Talk About War. Filmmakers Dennis Mueller and Deb Ellis will be showing a portion of their latest movie, and two war resistors will be talking about their situation. And over the next few weeks, some prominent Canadians will be publishing a statement demanding that the Conservatives stop deporting war resistors and enact a provision to allow them to stay. That statement has already been signed by Andy Berry, Shirley Douglas, John Polanyi, and many others. You can also help by donating to the Chip-In, which can be found at resistors.chipin.ca.
Shirley Douglas has always been a good person to follow on these issues, setting a good standard for Canadians here. And I think it's amazing that this number of events are occurring simultaneously or around this time. People should be checking the resistors.ca website and feeds to get that kind of information. Some of these major events you're talking about, again, that's this Friday. So that's just 2 days from now, mostly Toronto, as you say.
It's at Innes on the University of Toronto campus, and that is in Toronto.
Okay. Well, great. People should come out and think about going out to that. And if not, just keep in mind that these kind of events are ongoing. You can find out about it at the War Resistors website. And you might be getting updates on this program in January, February, and the new year. So keep up, keep informed, and see if you can be part of this.